Okay, everybody, this is let's do a one-minute warning here. One-minute warning, we'll get started. Okay, if everybody could take your seats, please. Go ahead and get started. Start the
And just a reminder, for anyone speaking, to please announce your name and affiliation for purposes of those participating remotely and for the recording. Thank you.
Jonathan, go ahead.
I assume it's a continuation of the topic on the GNSO Council, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. That's the main topic or the remaining topic of business. We have one other topic that Paul wants to discuss before we get to that. Then we'll deal with trying to finalize or at least advance the discussion on the GNSO Care, and then we'll ask for any other business. So, Paul, over to you.
Thanks, Keith. Paul Diaz, for the record. It'll only take a moment. It's a call for folks to cast a vote on the current ballot for the charter changes. These are the two questions that we have out. First, about the approval of text to enable an association model of participation. And the second one, and I understand there's confusion, there are merely text changes around weighted voting. None of the provisions, none of the standards, the criteria that we use for weighted voting were changed. The language was just cleaned up because it was very hard to read. So just want to be clear to everybody, there's nothing changing around weighted voting in terms of how we determine a vote. It was merely administrative text changes. Those two items are on a ballot that's open right now. Very important because it's our charter, so we're trying to get as much participation as possible. Vote is scheduled to run through this Friday, but right now we only have 10 people who voted, so please, I implore everybody, take a look, cast your vote. If we can get to at least a majority, which is 27, I think, right now, we'll be good by Friday. If not, we'll extend the vote because this is too important. We've got to have the right number. That's all. Questions? Thank
you very much, Paul. Jonathan, Jeff, did you have something?
Thanks, Keith. It's Jonathan. I just wanted to raise one other point that we haven't discussed. I mean, I might have raised it on the list, but there is a of choosing either candidate in terms of the sort of leadership team or the vice chair. Clarified neatly on the list that a tie has come, just for those of you that weren't tracking the list, you end up with a tie. We end up in a 30-day cycle waiting for a vice chair's takeover. So that's one important role the vice chairs do play, and their role can be enhanced or diminished depending on the extent to which the chair leans on them, I suppose, and to the extent they are willing and able and step up to the plate. Now, in the case that we elect James to be council chair, we would have the existing vice chair on the contracted party house is a registrar and who becomes no longer that leadership team, the vice chair, because you can't have a... So at that point, one of our registry councillors would have to vice chair. Maybe I won't presume who that would be. Certainly a case. So from our stakeholder group's point of view, vice chair at that point, which we don't otherwise have. On the non-contracted party's house side, I'm not quite sure again what will happen there. I have heard rumours that David Cake has not been true. If not, then David Cake stays as vice chair, I assume. Maybe Heather comes in as vice chair. The other way round, clearly, if Heather gets elected, David Cake stays as vice chair, or whomever else non-contracted party's house put in as vice chair. Volker would probably stay as vice chair. So permutations. You just need to be aware that there are ramifications. Whomever we put in as chair for the vice chairs and what I might call the leadership council. I suppose the only other thing is in the candidate statements, James made it very clear he would lean heavily on the vice chairs. Go on record and say that I think Heather's great and I think she's got many, many. So if she wasn't successful as chair, personally I would advocate strongly to her. I'd love to see vice chair. Now the final detail is, as far as I understand it, the non-contracted parties house have an arrangement within that alternate vice chairs on a basis. I don't think it's a formal or contractual situation, but I think arrangement. So I would expect that the commercial stakeholder group would be able to put forward a vice chair event that they didn't. I don't know the mechanics of that house and how it all works, but that's my understanding. Thanks.
Thanks, Jonathan. I don't know if Jeff wanted to get in, but Dina wanted to respond.
Just briefly, in terms of the non-contracted parties house, they view the vice chair term as being 1 year. So even if the existing vice chair is reelected to count, their term would come to an end. As a de facto matter, the two stakeholder groups have alternated vice chairs But it would be extremely inaccurate to say that there is an agreement of any nature.
Thanks, Christina. Jeff.
Yeah, I just wanted to back to Jordan's proposal of letting each counselor kind of vote their own conscience. For a number of reasons, I don't think that's the way to go. I think that the three counselors we have coming in, this is not anything against them, obviously, very qualified, but they don't represent individually all the types of registries that are out there. So it would not be accurate to say that their individual views would necessarily represent the views of the registry stakeholder group. For example, there are no brands. That's a counselor, right? So, and they have very different interests. For example, Donna raised a very interesting, good point that for her, the registrars are their customers. Brands, the registrars are not their customers. So they don't have those same concerns. So we really should come to a decision as a group, I think, and then instruct our council.
Go ahead.
Yeah, a little institutional knowledge. I wish to hell Chuck was here, but he may be. All right, he's online. Chuck, correct me if I'm wrong. Have we ever had a situation where we split a vote? Thank you.
Certainly, as has been pointed out, our charter allows for that, so that's certainly a possibility. But, I don't know whether we have ever done that or not. Maybe not. Since I've got the floor, let me say something else on a little different. When we get to the point of selecting a vice chair for the contracted party house, whether it be from the registrars or the registries, although it's not a requirement, I would suggest that we consider picking someone, whether it be on the registrar side, who may be willing to serve as chair in the future, because it's really helpful for chair, and I know Jonathan did it without this and did a superb job, but it is really helpful experience for a chair to have been vice chair for a while. It makes the transition a little easier. Again, that's not a requirement, but I would just suggest we keep that in mind because it is helpful preparation for the possible banks.
Yeah, and I'm going to respond to Chuck. I happen to agree with him, and I think we both have somewhere between 15 and 17 years here. Also, I want to agree with Jeff. We've come a long way in our ability to have the votes that we've made in the council be as representative of as possible of the composition of the group. And I think that we have to keep that in mind as we move forward, that the people who are voting for us have to be as representative.
Thanks, Ken. And I think the challenge there, and I don't disagree with you, but the challenge there is that if we are going to direct our counselors to vote, then the direction needs to be also representative. And we have 24 hours to make this decision. So Jordan's point about the ability to properly will determine consensus or the levels of consensus challenge. And it's something that we have to deal with. So I have... Okay, we've got a queue, so I saw Jordan first, anybody else, and then I want to get back in queue. Jordan, then Stefan.
Yeah, so it's Jordan Buchanan from Google. Just to respond to Jeff's point, I wasn't suggesting that the counselors should vote their conscience because they were representative of the stakeholder group. To Keith's point, that they should vote their conscience because we don't have any way as a stakeholder group right now to get to a determination as to how they should vote, I don't think. Like, maybe it should be a split vote, maybe not. I don't know how many brands or how many people that support Heather would have to agree with that. Would it be a third of the people in the room today would mean that one vote goes to Heather? And if two-thirds of the, like, how do we figure out how to split the vote? Whether we split the vote, like, is it just the people in the room? Do we have to have a ballot? Like, I don't think this I think highlighted we have in the stakeholder group now that we will need to resolve, and Keith's probably like going, I'm glad this is my job anymore. but I think we're going to have to work through how we're going to deal with situations where we can't get to a consensus view of the stakeholder group because of the new types of business models we have that may happen more frequently in the past. But I don't think we do it today. And so therefore, I think I don't see a better alternative than simply allowing, than saying we don't have a consensus view or a view that we can direct the votes at this point, and so therefore the councillors should vote their conscience. I also think it's particularly appropriate in this matter because I actually think they will have the working relationship with the GNSO chair, and so it's actually, it is a decision that is more relevant to the councillors than to the stakeholder group. People may disagree with that, but I think this decision in particular, I think there are factors that weigh more towards letting them make the decision than in the general case.
Jordan, Stefan, and then I'm putting myself in queue.
Thanks, Keith. Stefan Van Gelder, Starting Dot. Having been a GNSO councillor, GNSO vice chair, and GNSO chair, I've always come at it thinking that the people that elected me to those positions trusted me to make my own mind up if I needed to. And I know we've heard from the three of you this morning that you wanted to be given direction. I've agreed with Jordan on the list, and I couldn't agree with him more now. I think in this issue, it's not just the choice that we're making now, and so I'm not talking specifically about the GNSAIR debate. It's also about sending you guys a signal that we trust you. We've elected you as intelligent human beings capable of making these very tough decisions by yourselves if we all die or fall under a bus, and there's only the three of you left to defend registries worldwide. So, you know, I think we want to tell you that we trust you, and if we are unable because of these dynamics and because of our specific operational issues to come to a decision, then certainly you have my vote of confidence.
Go ahead.
Yeah, look, this is not an issue of voting for or having confidence. There's a reality here, too. Reality is that the three councillors work for three companies, right? And they don't want their names, I would think, associated with voting against their customer. I would think that would be a very tough position to put them in, and I don't think we should put them in that. So even if one of them, even if Keith thought Heather was better, you know, that's now not a vote of the registry stakeholder group. That's a vote of Keith Drazik from VeriSign, right? And now Keith Drazik from VeriSign is associated, if he voted for Heather, with voting against his customer. That's not a fair position to put him in. We shouldn't put him in that group. We should direct him as a stakeholder group to vote in a certain way. And this way, if for some reason Keith Drazik VeriSign votes against the way that VeriSign wanted him to, it's down on him, on Keith. It comes down on the stakeholder group for a layer of protection as well. So this has nothing to do with not trusting the three councillors. I think they're excellent at what they do. We put them on there for a reason. But this.
Thanks. I'm going to take my opportunity to speak here for my thoughts on this, and then we can continue the debate. But I wanted to let you know sort of what I'm thinking. And this is in part, you know, I'll keep my chair hat on, but also because I'm one of the incoming councillors. As I said at the beginning, I personally would prefer not to sort of like have the discretion, if you will. I would prefer generally to be told by the stakeholder group, that's how we do business, that's how we've always done business. That said, this is a unique and unfortunate situation. To Jordan's point, and backed up by Stefan and some other comments, procedurally, how do we determine that we have consensus of the 100-plus member stakeholder group? It can't be just the direction or some sense of the room here. Get out to the list tonight and ask for an urgent response from people who may get the email but have not been part of the discussion. Right. So, but I think we can do something to get a better indication about where consensus or doesn't, or a general sense of sort of what the balance is. You know, our room here. And two people put up their hand and say they would prefer Heather. That tells us something. Closer, that tells us something too. That gives us, as we given the discretion, information, our decision. So it seems to me that we have three steps here. One is to determine, this is what I'm suggesting, and if anybody wants to say, Keith, I think you got it wrong, or that's not the right way, I think we should take the sense of this room, and I think we should put out an email immediately after this meeting, the list, and asking for feedback, asking for people to tell us whether we prefer James. From that, we can decide, do we decide from that will determine sort of the weight of, you know, where the sense of from that will be able to decide on whether to split. Not opposed to splitting votes. But I think it needs to be done possible supporting the outcome that we want to have. So, I mean, our charter, as Chuck noted and as we've talked about, our charter allows for votes. So that's not off the table. I mean, we've never done it. We're not going to do it now. It's permitted charter. And so that's certainly, in my on the table. My question, and I need to talk this through, and I'm not a mathematician by any stretch, is if we split our vote, and let's just say for the sake of argument, 2-1, James, 1-Heather, as the sign or the signal lock, and that we've actually put some thought into this, which I'm not, does that put James at risk? Jonathan, thank you. And then Ken.
The situation we then find ourselves in is we've got contracted parties house voting 5 out of 7 votes, assuming the registrar. Now, 3 from the registrars, 2 from us. 1 we know is against, or 4 Heather, and don't know how the NomCom appointee will choose to vote. 5. And in order for that to go through to a round where a third candidate is chosen, it needs more out of the total of the 14 votes. So it would either the remainder to be 8 in favor of Heather or 3 more in favor of James. That's what I see. I hope I'm right there, but that's my understanding. Well, that's true. It's a proportional. I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, it's a percentage. Sorry. So you almost need a little spreadsheet to do the percentages.
But what I'm trying to get at, and I'm going to ask somebody who has math skills better than mine, which is probably all of you in the room, to help on this, because I think we need to know the answers to this question. In other words, if we end up after we do a sense of the room consensus call, the numbers dictate that we could split in one, but the strong preponderance was support James. We don't want to just sort of flip a coin and throw it up in the air and barely follow through on the consensus, even if it's rough, in my opinion. It's like, in other words, if we're gonna split vote, we need to know whether it's as a signal or whether it's actually putting the election up in the air. And until we have those numbers and know what the spread is and know what the breakdown is. Yeah, I'm sorry, Ken and then Jordan.
At the risk of being made a fool of, we are. The answer, first of all, any assumption we make has to be predicated on the assumption that the other house will fully support Heather. And that includes the non-commercial appointee. Okay, but, and Chuck, you could probably correct me if I'm wrong here again. If, when they get done, they're going to look at the highest percentage. Okay, if we split our vote and the other house fully supports Heather, she will have the highest percentage. So what we could have is a situation here where splitting our vote would automatically give the election to Heather. And yet, hypothetically, we could have a preponderance of the members of this constituency who feel that James would be the better person. And yet, by splitting the vote, what we've done, you can't re-ring the bell. It's as simple as that.
So, and Claire, you know, if we end up with a, you know, 65, let's go 60-40 split in our, you know, sense of the room, then maybe that tells us it's okay to put it up in the air. This is what we're trying to balance here. So thank you, Ken. I've got Jordan and then Chuck.
So I'll make 2 points. The first is that I think it's not going to be knowable vote is going to be, because like it seems like we have some information already that the non-commercials are likely to split their own votes, and we don't know what degree. True, we don't know what the NomCon appointees are going to vote, so there are just too many scenarios, I think, for us to reasonably predict. So of course splitting our votes decreases the chances that James will be successful and increases the chance that Heather will be successful, but I don't think there's going to be some bright line where we can say like it's totally safe or it's totally unsafe. Without more information than we seem to have at the moment. But my second point is, I don't think that should matter if we agreed upon some mechanism for allocating the votes. If it was really the case that we said, okay, look, we'll take the sense of the room, and if at least a third of the people choose one, you know, for each third that you get, you get a vote, basically, and we round in one direction or the other, then if it was really the case that a third of us thought that Heather should be the chair and we had agreed to split votes, then it would seem that the right thing to do, independent of whether it caused James to lose the seat, would be to allocate votes that way. Once again, I'm very wary of this. I think inventing a procedure on the fly to try to allocate votes seems much worse to me than letting the councilors make a conscience-based decision. But we're not voting members of the stakeholder group, so at the end of the day, we'll defer to those who are.
Thank you, Gordon. That's all very helpful. I've got Chuck in queue, then Ken and Dina and Brett. Thank you.
First of all, there's types of direction we need to give our councilor. One is for the first ballot. I don't know how many saw the brief summary I sent of what I think is a law, because I think it's clear that there will not be an election on the first results on that, because the chance of one candidate getting, so we know there will be a second ballot. Now, I think one thing might be easy for us to do, decide on what direction we give the councilors. Now, if the first ballot resulted in a tie, we have a first ballot does not end in a tie. In other words, one of the candidates, James or Heather, get a higher than the other, then the second ballot would occur, according to my understanding, right away in the council, and it would be between that leading candidate, none of the above. So you eliminate the low. Is it reasonable to think that we, as a group, then be willing to go with the candidate who, so we could direct our counselors on the second ballot for the leading candidate? If others agree with that. Now, in the case of the first ballot, as several have pointed out, we can't determine how it's going to come out. If it comes out of a tie, there has to be another vote in 30 days. No, if it doesn't come out on a tie, then that's where we go. Last thing I would say with regard to taking a sense of the room, the only thing we should be careful of is that just one person per voting member actually express their sense of assessing that.
Yeah. Thanks. All right. Thanks very much, Chuck. That's all very helpful. So I have a cue. I want to make a comment, Chuck. I have Ken, Christina, Brett, and Stefan. Would anybody else? Chuck, my response to your question about the second ballot, assuming it does not go by, and I agree, it's unlikely to, the first ballot is unlikely to result in a candidate. It's unlikely to go to a tie. If we end up in a situation where we vote for the leading candidate or none of the above, I've heard nothing today that would tell me that we would vote. It's pretty clear to me that whoever the winning or the leading candidate is in the second ballot would be supportable by this stakeholder group. Jonathan?
Very brief response, and I think we should go on record, and I'm sure you'll agree, that actually our sense more than that. It's not that we wouldn't, we actually would positively go in that circumstance about supporting Heather.
Agreed. That's what I was trying to say. If it wasn't clear, then absolutely. Thank you. We would have no reservations. We would positively support either candidate if it were that candidate and none of the above. So let's just agree that I think we're all agreed on that. So then the follow-up question is, we're going to get through the list of speakers here and then room to help inform the three councilors and then decide whether we are directed or not at that point. If there is clearly no consensus, and when I say take the sense of the room, I'm talking about here and out to the list, and then here's that there's a very strong consensus in one direction, that'll send us a message. It's much more divided. I mean, Jordan's point about a third, and a third is something we ought to consider. This is a very delicate moment, right? I totally understand Jordan's point about coming up with sort of procedures on the fly and that we're sensitive. And I'm, as much as I said, I would prefer not to have the freedom, that I would prefer to be directed. I respect Jordan and Stefan's points about coming up with a procedure that might be considered illegitimate after the fact. John, hold on. I've got Ken, Christina, Brett, Stefan, and John.
Yeah. You may inadvertently have created the solution to this problem. If we have to have some assumptions, we assume that we voted as a house for James. Registrars did. And the same on the other side, we end up with a tie. You now, as the heads of the constituency, have 30 days to get a much greater sense of the feeling from the constituency. That's the first thing that I think you'd be looking at. Secondly, let me explain one thing I am concerned about. What we would be doing if we split our votes is we would be setting a precedent. That precedent could be used any time in the future that there is a issue within the constituency that, let's say hypothetically, one-third of the members weren't happy about. They could insist on a situation where it be voted that way. I feel very uncomfortable about doing that, as I've always come from an environment that said, in the long run, the majority rules, like it or not. That's what how the College of Elections works. But I don't like the idea that we could have something get into the situation in the future. I think we need, sometimes you just need to settle things. And I'm afraid in the future, we've established a precedent that may not allow us to settle things. That's all.
Thanks, Ken. I've got Christina, then Brett, then Stefan, and Jeff, and Red.
A few things. First, by my very basic math, if we were to split our vote, and assuming that our House voted for Heather, Heather would have to vote in the non-contract party House for there to not be a tie. I remember correctly, there is a GNSO council on Tuesday nights to go over the issues that were addressed in the stakeholder group meetings. That is a really good opportunity for our counselors to get the sense of how NCSG counselors are going to vote. All nine CSG counselors are going to vote. So that would be kind of my first point. Second, picking up on something that Keith mentioned, I feel really strongly that under no circumstances should we vote none of the above. I was on the council when there was such an election. Rafiq voted not Chuck. And it was a moment that many people remember both as a reflect that constituency. So we don't need that. Third, I think if we end up in a situation where our counselors are voting their conscience or however we're calling it, I would like to know how they vote. Not necessarily before the election, but I would then like to know after the election how they voted. I think that's really only. And finally, to Ken's point, I understand the concern about not getting into a situation where we have mathematical precision, the level of consent on each issue, so that we're not having to split some votes one, some votes go 1-2. But as a practical matter, IGAN has changed. This stakeholder group has changed. I'm not sure it's realistic to assume there will always be consensus on every issue. And I think to preclude ourselves from using the mechanism that the drafters of our charter had the foresight to include.
I want to respond to a couple of things. I got to think about it a minute. Go Brett, Stefan, Jeff, and Reg.
I want to reiterate something that Chuck said before I got to it, which was that the sense of the room, we need to make sure that sense of the room is one vote per voting member. And because otherwise we may get skewed. And also I think the point you made that we need to go back to the list is important because Chuck can't see it from the Adobe, but the room is actually quite light right now compared to where it was this morning.
What I wanted to say a minute ago was on the precedent, I think there's a couple of things here. One is, I mean, we have to be very careful about setting, sort of new procedures or stuff on the fly. We have to be careful about ways that we don't intend. Part of this responsibility for this is we're having to make this decision. Made this decision. We knew who the candidate made this decision far before this, where we could have gone out and had the actual consensus call to the list, and we would have known. So I think that if we're in a bad situation right now or a tough situation, it's perfectly manageable. It's just that we have to find our hours. So in terms of splitting vote, I understand the concern. But I think the way to handle that in the future, end up deciding to split votes, you do it in a way that is predictable and it's taken pause there. Get back to the list. Stefan, Jeff, and Reg.
Stefan Van Gelder again. So after we've spent endless hours talking about the actual mechanics of this, I'm still no clearer as to who I might want us to support, which is a problem, I think, at this late stage. So I just wanted to try and summarize what I thought my pluses and minuses are as we go into this. If we support James, I think the plus is that, first of all, we're siding with the Red Bars and keeping the CPH unity strong, which is certainly something that we want to look at. And we feel, or some of us feel, that we're also siding, we're also electing the best man for the job. If we support Heather, some of us feel that politically, in the wider context, we are actually sending a positive signal that the GNSO chair doesn't always have to come from the CPH, and we are also supporting a quality candidate. So with that being said, I think it's an extremely difficult situation, you know, and rather than spending lots of time on counting up the votes, we really have to come to a decision as to whom we want. Once we know who we want, it's easy to get to it. The CPH is strong, and you know, if we can talk to the registrars, if we know what we want, this will solve itself.
Thanks, Stefan. This is Keith. The challenge is determining how we know what we want. Right? That's what we're wrestling with: is how to make sure that we can, have a legit answer to that question. So I'm totally with you, and we're going to get that in a second. But that's the challenge right now, is truly know what we want. Reg, and then I think John had his hand up. Sorry, Jeff, and then Reg.
Sorry, Reg. Jeff Newman. With taking the sense of the room, just so it's clear, I mean, I can't vote. My couple clients that I represent and I'm a delegate for, well, two of them are out of the room and one's not here, so I would need to go off list and do that, but I just want to clear something up. We actually have split the votes for a very long time, and I think it was Carrie Karp and I, sponsored TLDs, had a different view on whatever issue it was from the unsponsored TLDs. Split it. It was 1-1, and then the we did a weighted voting for the third, and I think that came out. I don't remember who that person. It has been done before. So we would not be setting, very few people remember that, and it was such a long time ago. But and the bylaws, the charter, it does call for it. I remember drafting that case when Carrie and I voted. So the charter calls for it. We should not be afraid to use it. And then you could do, the charter also calls, if someone wants to do a weighted voting to figure it out, that could be done as well. But there's a lot of...
Jeff, Reg?
I was going to say as well that I don't think there's a deal in splitting the vote, because it was put in there for our IP interests, and that's okay. We're all the RISIG, and we like to make sure that we represent the desires of the voting members with the three votes.
General comment, I know that it's we've kind of now starting to go around into a circle, and at this point, what about both candidates are actually here in Dublin? We had the telephone call a couple of weeks ago to try and help people understand. Not everybody that's actually here and that will be giving a sense of their vote actually have heard what either candidate has had to say. So would it be prudent, or would it be possible to try and get them into a meeting with everybody, or is that just too notice?
Thank you, Frieda. Actually, I think unlikely to be able to fit something like that into the calendar. Fortunately, Gary, correct me if I'm wrong, the session that we had candidates was recorded, and we have the MPs, and they were circulated to the entire list. Recirculate those as part of an email urgent request for feedback. I think the idea of trying to get formed is right, and I think we have a mechanism to do that.
Well, and that way, at least when you're putting out sense of what people want to vote or how they want to, which way going, at least they can make an informed decision.
Ken, and then we need to draw a line under this and make a decision.
Yeah, I'm still not really sure what's going to happen between now and tomorrow. I know you're talking about, I think it's extremely important that the email that goes out tomorrow, or that goes out to the people who are not here, explain exactly what the consequences of the decision, if they're going to make a decision, are. They need to understand that even though this sounds like it makes sense, it may not make sense. if they knew everything. I don't want to have a situation where somebody comes back later on and says, oh, I never would have voted that way if I'd known this. And I'm not asking somebody to write a book, but I am saying that it does need, we do need some clarification. Chuck went a long way. Jonathan's gone a long way. I really think that needs to end there.
Ken, were you volunteering to write that note? I'm joking.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, my writing skills are not that strong.
All right. So so I have one final question. John, go ahead, and then I have a question.
That was in the queue, sir. Oh, Christina wants to correct her math.
Yeah, my math was wrong. So in other words, if we split our vote, the NCA in our house votes for Heather. Heather has to get 4 of the 7 votes between of NCSG and NCA. So for counselors seeking to gather information tonight, that's what...
So my point...
I just one thing. I mean, this, the way Christina said it was it implies that we're assuming the NCA will vote for Heather. It's a kind of worst-case scenario from that point. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So just to be very clear, I mean, this, we're not directing the NCA as part of that split. Very clear. The NCA, we currently assume, will vote according to her conscience in this case.
Right. I mean, for every vote Heather gets in the contractor party's house, James has got to probably get 2 votes in the other house because they have double the number. It's a little different because of the odd non-com appointee, so it's not exactly double. Anyway, you know, one point I want to make is it'd be great maybe to get a show of hands in the room just to help guide us where we're thinking. Also, I support, as I said, that we vote for James in the first ballot, but I'm open to a split as well. So when we do a straw poll, it shouldn't just be, do you support James or do you support Heather? It could be, you know, based on the number of hands in the room, if I think a significant percentage of the constituency of the stakeholder group is in favor of Heather, I would be more likely to support a split than just an all-out 3-0. So I think it's got to be a little more, I know it complicates things, but it's got to be a little more nuanced as whoever takes the pen in drafting that note.
Agreed. Thanks, John. And that was in my earlier comments. I talked about we need to determine preference, determine the weight of consensus, be able to inform us, and then decide on the split. So you're absolutely in line with what you're thinking. Donna, you wanted to get in. Go ahead.
Yeah, so just to Christina's point about, you know, getting a sense of how people are going to vote, it's not the new council that we're in the room tonight. So there's going to be a changeover of about 7 different people, I think. So it may not be all that useful.
Okay, so I have a question, and John's point about the sense of the room I think could be instructive. But I think we can do a sense of the room, but I think all of the feedback should be on the list or on a Survey Monkey or something like that. In other words, we can do a sense of the room right now. But I don't want, you know, those of us in the room here and then others responding to the list because we might get people twice. And so my sense is I'm fine doing a sense of the right, but we probably ought to put it to the list. But risk is that, I mean, we just need to make sure everybody here. So anybody opposed to doing a sense of the room here that would not be counted in the actual, they object to doing the sense of the room? Jordan, go ahead.
I don't object to that at all. I think it's a really good idea. But then what? is what I'm worried about because, you know, John's right. There may be a bunch of people who think it would be totally reasonable to split vote. That's the case. But do we need to, are we going to meet again tomorrow before the council meeting? Or are we going to try to resolve this all on the list? I don't know what we're doing with the output of that.
Thanks, Jordan. Again, if the results of the fact are not clear in one direction. In other words, if we get a response and it is, you know, 95% in some games, that's pretty indicative, right? If it's something, you know, a lower threshold or a, you know, a much closer balance, then I think... Jonathan?
Just practically, I suppose you could, we could put that as part of the preamble. Vote goes that may, we maybe just try and kill birds with one stone, understand where people's preferences are, and if it's below a certain threshold, that a vote, that may be that we actually won, or unless people... maybe those are too completely... At the moment, is it proposed to just simply do... I know you did say a moment ago, but is it proposed to simply ask...
Reg.
I'm not opposed to taking the sense of the room, but I don't necessarily vote via a Survey Monkey.
Also not opposed to that.
Those who have us asked for the sense of the room see the value in it, and if you don't oppose it, then maybe it would be helpful for us in determining how we vote.
Okay. So I will then make the decision to take the room. So the question is about supporting James or supporting Heather. I will ask first for a show of hands for James and second for a show of hands. Again, just a reminder that it's one vote per voting member, so we don't end up with double counting. And again, just for the record, this is not for the official count, which will be conducted by the email list, really a sense of the room. So please, a show of hands for those who would prefer James Bladel. Thank you. And now a show of hands for those who would prefer Heather Forrest. So as if I heard correctly, it was 18 in favor of James and 7 in favor of Heather.
This is Sherry. That's 25 votes. We currently have full voting membership of 67 with 5 inactive members who can vote. So 25 of 67 eligible voters.
The key thing is that's 28%, 72-28.
Thanks, John. So I think that tells us something, and I think that was very informative. He agrees. I think the next step is to take this to the list. So I'm going to ask for a volunteer to help draft that note. I've actually asked Chuck. I don't know if you've seen me ask him that in Adobe. we'll figure that out. But this note needs to get out. And Sherry, is SurveyMonkey the way to go on this? Or is it a written response to the list or to... I'm struggling here to figure out the mechanisms, if you could help.
I guess the decision is if you want it to be an open dialogue response among all the membership, I would do it by email. If you want it to be a closed response, then I could post the results through SurveyMonkey. So it's 6 to 1, half dozen.
My sense on awkward procedure that it would be best to have transparency about who votes for who. I mean, we all just stuck up our hands in the room here. I think it probably makes sense to know who was voting for whom. Ben, go ahead.
Yeah, so what you're saying is a dialogue, right?
Open dialogue.
Open dialogue? Is
no,
that what you're
saying? No,
no. Oh, it's because SurveyMonkey's, I didn't realize that.
No, the question was whether it should be visible as to how people, not a question of a dialogue or a back and forth.
I'm all for, sorry, right. I thought we were...
Okay, so let me pause. Anybody have any questions or comments or suggestions at this point? Jordan, thank you.
So question number one, is the survey strictly who do you prefer, or do we include a question along the lines of, and then if the vote split, are you okay splitting the vote, or is it just the... And then secondly, once again, let's just assume for the moment the split is, this room is representative of our broader population, so we're going to end up with something about but not quite a third of people in favor of Heather and two-thirds in favor of James. Reconvene tomorrow to digest that, or do we make
no question at that threshold we reconvene. I'm John
to make a proposal that if that we vote on SurveyMonkey, if the results are 0 to 25% for or 75 to 100% for one candidate, we vote all three votes for that candidate. 75%, we vote 2 to 1. 25 to 50, we vote 1 to 2. And 0 to 25, we vote all three of the other candidates. Just do it in quartiles.
Anyone want to second that?
Second.
Any objections? Donna, over to you.
I guess it's based on the philosophy that, you know, we're splitting the contractor party's house. So I do have a real concern over that. So I understand the math, and it sounds all good in principle, but I really have a problem with splitting the contractor party's house in that manner and the potential consequence that could have on us at a later point in time. So I understand the politics are going one way, but I think we have to do the politics are going too far the other way as well.
I have Chuck in the queue. Chuck, would you like to get in?
Clear on what message I'm drafting, Keith.
Wait on it.
It's basically the cover note asking for the vote and explaining, providing a little bit of context, not overly
okay.
detailed, over a little context ramifications.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, just to John's proposal, I'm actually uncomfortable with the split vote as well for the reason that mean that your proposal is bad. If we just adapt it to, I mean, I would counter-propose that we just do an above 50, below 50, and if it's above 50, all the votes go to the above 50. That would be mathematically simpler and would allow that we don't split votes.
Use the mic.
I'm trying to absorb that. If you only have two people and two choices, there's always going to be one person and one below. It's got to add up to 100%.
Sorry, I thought we had three choices, which was the two candidates and none of the above.
Not on
someone's
going to
vote none of the above?
All right, Ken, go ahead.
All right, let me ask a question. Do we have a definition in the constituency here of a supermajority? Is it two-thirds? I'm asking. I think in our charter, supermajority is defined as two-thirds. Okay, it would seem to me that if a supermajority of the votes is for one person, I'm sorry, there may be a dissatisfied minority there, but how can you not go vote? Everything else we operate on is clearly done on the basis of a supermajority. And I'm going to use your example, Jordan. Maybe they got close, but at the same time, they didn't get there. And we've had to establish and defend positions that have been made in policy development for quite a period of time based on the supermajority. I don't think, to me, you know, I don't know how you can go back on that at this point in time. We'll have to get into a new definition.
Definitions are important. Thank you, Ken. John?
Yeah, Jordan? I think Ken's persuasive in that, so I would amend the motion to say if it's between 50% and 67%, then we split 2-1. If it's over 67%, we vote 3-0.
Jordan?
I'm going to sound like a... this is the exact conversation I was really afraid of earlier, which is like, hey, we're just going to make rules as we go along. We're going to have like a short election that like it's going to run over like 12 hours or something like that, and we're going to make up the voting thresholds as we go. And my counterproposal is we still do the same vote, and we use that to allow the councillors to be informed about how they would like to cast their own votes. Because that way, at least, we're not trying to create some sort of voting rules that may or may not. Not everyone's here to decide whether or not these voting rules are reasonable. You know, there's already disagreement about like whether we should be able to split the votes or not. And like, this feels very dangerous ground to me that we're engaging in.
So maybe we're at a point where we might.
So this just goes back to my point. Like, the charter says we can split the vote. Now we're like deciding on the fly that we're making up a new rule that we're going to not split the vote. Like, this is a mess.
Yeah,
you know, and I don't think there's a way out of it that is not going to. Some people are going to be unhappy no matter what we decide right now.
Yeah, this is a. Go ahead. Go ahead, Frieda.
Sorry, I think strong, and I think at this point, Doodle or the vote on Survey Monkey, that will actually be the definitive. So at that stage, you can then decide whether vote. At this point in time, there is a majority in the room at this point in time. So I think review survey, send out the Survey Monkey, see what happens then, and then we can make a clear decision on whether it's necessary to split the vote or not. There's no point in supposing. Just go through the motions, and then we know what we need to do.
Ken?
I respect your statement there. My only concern is I don't want to place huge on the management of the constituency.
Too late.
I know, it's too late. Well, the problem is, say, we get the vote in tomorrow, and then we're going to have a better sense. That doesn't say, here's what you do. If a vote comes in tomorrow, if that's the way we're going to do it, there has to be something concrete and clear. I don't want to stick anybody on XCOM with the idea of interpreting what that vote meant. You know, I think we have to at least give you direction, because it's not fair to you guys at all to be stuck with making that decision.
All right. After listening to all of this and realizing that I'm in this position in having to help make this decision and also going to be one of those voting, Jordan's arguments are very convincing about these procedures and setting things up on the fly. His comment about this is just what he wanted to avoid, I think, actually is fairly convincing. I think, as I said at the beginning, I did not want to be put in the position of having to, sort of make the decision or call on my own. And I know Rubens and Donna echoed that. That may be the only way forward at this time. That said, we still need to do the sense of the membership. So we do the outreach. We need to do and ask for everybody to urgently, in the most informed way possible, give us feedback so the three of us can make that decision. And I think, you know, you elected us to be your representatives on the council. You trust us to do the job. We're going to have to turn and ask you to trust us to act that we get from the membership and handle it accordingly. And if that means that I have to vote against James, my biggest customer, then I'll ask Rubens to do it. So, anyway, I think, and so I want to pause there. That's where my head is at. That's the, as chair, my last decision potentially. I want anybody to raise any objections if you have them. But I think that's the.
And again, well, someone was asking this morning what power the chair gave, and you've just given us a prime example, because you've taken all this on board and made a decision. That's the kind of thing you can also do at council level. So as you measure your votes, remember that the person you're choosing will be able to do that.
So again, let me ask if there are any comments or objections to the direction I'm leaning.
My only comment is that if the councillors are in fact going to vote on their conscience, I do need to report back to the stakeholder group as to each of them, how each of them voted after the election.
Totally agree. This is Keith. No, I agree 100%. It never even entered my mind that it would be otherwise.
So. If I can just ask a question of that. If I post out the Survey Monkey tonight for feedback, is that to be public as well?
I mean, on the...
Okay. The results of the poll to the voting registry members.
We're asking for the clarification. Yes, the responses to the vote will be publicly available, with and transparent. I think that's the only way we can go. Any other comments or questions? Yes, Sherry.
And this might be more of a housekeeping detail. If Chuck is drafting a cover letter to provide some background for those that haven't had the benefit of being here today, might I suggest that the two questions that are the questions that are going to be in the Survey Monkey be included in the body of that email, and that those questions, I know exactly how to phrase those questions in the Survey Monkey, so we're consistent.
Very absolutely. Chuck has typed into chat that he will send a draft message to the XCOMs you. And then we will certainly coordinate with you to make sure you have exactly what you need, so there's no confusion.
And then the final point would be the deadline for response by the voting membership, so I have time to do the compilation and get it back to post to the list to get it out in time for the council agenda.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry. Good question. I wanted to get in, and then Ken.
Will the Survey Monkey just have two choices, or will there be no preference choice also? Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure when I drop my message that I do it right. Okay? All right, thanks.
All right, thanks, Chuck. Thanks very much. Get you agreeing to be voluntold to do this. Ken.
I hate to do this to you, Sherry, but I think we need to stretch the vote out as far as we can in the next 24 hours. I do not want to have a situation where somebody feels like they've been deprived in part of the world because of, you know, I mean, if you send this out to the West Coast of the United States, you're looking at, you know, 8 to 9 hours. I'm saying it should be at least 6 o'clock tomorrow night, at least, you know.
Dublin time?
Yeah, oh well, I would say UNT. I'm just, whatever you're UTS used to dealing with. We need to, you know, as long as it's reasonable for Keith and Donna and Rubens to be able to get the compilation.
Yeah. Thanks, Ken and Sherry.
So I think the vote is tomorrow.
Yeah, the GNSO Council vote is tomorrow afternoon. Remember, there's a part one meeting of the existing council, the outgoing council. There's a part two meeting, which is the seating of new council and the vote. That starts at 3 o'clock, 3:15, 3 o'clock. So let's have this finalized by 2 p.m. local time. Where else? Okay, Sherry, 2 p.m. here. How long does it take to complete a SurveyMonkey say analysis?
Not long.
All right, 2 p.m. That gives us an hour to make sure that we have time.
My only comment is that eliminates one of two Guinness pints I was having tonight.
I was just saying that maybe the decision can be made over, or a clear conscience can come from a pint of Guinness.
There's one other thing from a strategy standpoint, and I think we have to talk some strategy here. I think that the information should be kept really on the down low after 2 o'clock, because that gives you guys the time you need. But other constituencies, hypothetically, could change their vote based on what or how they knew you were voting.
And it's a good point. It'll be transparent. We'll keep it confidential until after the vote. Results, you'll see our votes, and you'll know in full disclosure, but not until after the vote's made. Jordan.
Just one more question. We have a sense, or do the councilors have a sense, will you guys talk to each other once you see the results to figure out how to...
We will certainly coordinate. So I want to... I think we've talked this through. I feel good about the decision that we've made under difficult circumstances. I hope everybody else agrees. I wanted to ask, though, Rubens and Donna as... Donna, thank you. Sorry. I saw you missing. I panicked. I just want to ask, as the other two incoming... or Donna, seated councillor, Rubens, other incoming councillor, if you have any concerns about this or if you like we're on solid ground as far as what we're going to have to do tomorrow. Rubens? Okay. All right, very good. So with that, I am going to wrap things up, huh? All right. So,
you're at it.
All right. Yeah, I know. You didn't make it easy. Yeah. Hey, Maxime, go ahead.
Last main note, just... actually, would like Samantha to notify everybody officially that NTAG is no more. Okay. NTAG is
NTAG. Not no more, just on hold until the next time, which Ian.
And we will have to drink to the memory of
the
first
NTAG.
Version.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Maxim. Absolutely. All right, thanks, everybody. We're going to wrap this up. Thanks for everybody's input and patience today. And
let's do a stand for Keith.
Yes, so a reminder that we have a reception tonight. 5:30.